Yeah, you know, look, a lot of that jargon is tough. You could lose a few teeth. You know, it's like they're all consonants. And you know, we're just actors, man, you know. And just have to do it and do it and do it until it rolls as smoothly out of your mouth as possible. And look, I'm not ashamed to say that there have been times when I've had to write that stuff down, you know, and like paste it, just write this guy. You just got to do it, you know. I once had to speak, Mandarin in a scene. You know, I can barely say my name, so I finally said, "Look, I to the whole set, I said, everybody wants to go home, right? We want to go home today." They said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I'm writing this down on paper and I'm taping it over here." And they said, "Yep, thank you." You know, so you know, acting is an illusion. You know, it's about pretending. So I pretend that I can speak Mandarin and pretend that I know what I'm talking about when I'm describing pancreatitis.
Hey, folks, that's Steven Weber from Wings and The Shining and Chicago Med. Just a really great comedic actor talking about. In Chicago Med, in particular, he's playing a doctor and he's got to learn all this really hard medical technical jargon and just having some laughs with him about how you remember lines as an actor. There you go. That's a little peek behind the scenes with Steven Weber. Really great interview coming up with him. Really, really funny guy and just a really nice guy, too. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. But before we get to that, it's going to sound weird, but I don't think there's enough anger in certain parts of our society. Like, I'm a Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins, you know, all Boston fan, and my Celtics got bounced by the Nets. I'm not a fan of Kyrie. I thought he was a jerk when he was in Boston, and a multimillionaire with a huge chip on his shoulder, and I'm so sick of hearing of these stars always, you know, complaining that they're not loved enough for this or that and the other thing. There's nothing to do with race, leaving that aside, but the point is that, you know, he stomped on the logo of the Celtics, which is his little Irish leprechaun guy, and our guys like hugged him after we got beat by them. There's no, like, in the 80s and 90s with the you know, old school Celtics, that there was, like, you know, the Detroit Pistons, they, you know, clothesline each other and you know just go at it, be physical, you know. And the same thing with the Red Sox Yankee rivalry. Like, nobody's punching anybody in the face anymore. You know, Jason Varitek and A-Rod got at it at home, went at it at home plate, and Varitek punched him in the face. Like, yeah, sometimes somebody needs to be punched in the face. That's all I'm saying. You know, they need to deserve it, you know. So this has just been on my mind, bothering me. So, you know, it's okay to be have a rivalry. I want to see, like, a real rivalry, like, not just, hey, we're playing really hard against each other, and then let's go have a beer. No, you got to play hard against each other, and then when the guy's not looking, your opponent key his car in the parking lot. That's how you have a rivalry. Okay, I'm done rambling about that. Enjoy Steven Weber. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. My guest this week, you know him from television series Wings, a television version of The Shining, The Producers on Broadway. He's done a lot of work in film, The Perfection, Parenthood, Ballers, and the television, Will and Grace. He is probably, for me, one of the best, if not the best, comedic actors that I've ever seen. Steven Weber, it's great to have you on the show.
Hey, well, after an introduction like that, I'm happy to be on the show.
I think we should just stop here. I think why quit? We quit while you're ahead. You know what I mean? No.
Thank you, Paul.
you're starring in a multi episode arc on Chicago Med, and I'm really fascinated by this. And you're in the midst of it's in the midst of airing, and you play a Navy doctor who gets asked to join the hospital. But it seems the tables are turned a little bit because you are now sort of an underling to somebody who you were senior to in the Navy. Talk about sort of your role, and did that aspect of the nuance of that relationship attract you to the part at all?
I mean, that everything you said is true. I mean, that's kind of the circumstances which they find themselves working for the guy that used to work for me. But because they both served in the Navy, they were both naval surgeons who actually saw some action, some PTSD is starting to surface. The show actually started to touch on it with the character of Ethan Choi, played by Brian T., who's the guy that I used to kind of oversee in the Navy. But now it's apparent that my character is becoming affected by it too. And that was the thing that really drew me to the character once I, you know, once they asked me to do it, which I'm grateful for, of course, because I have a connection to that subject myself. You know, I realized after many years that my father was a sufferer of PTSD, and I've been working with an organization called New Directions for Veterans, which is a great organization which helps people out of the military who have had some issues with the drug addiction and homelessness, illness, and everything. So it's resonating with me, this role. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, is there a was your dad was he in World War II? Did it come from that or Korea?
No, he was in Korea.
Oh, okay.
He was in Korea, you know, wow. and we realized that these people saw, you know, these guys, and it happens today, you know. They see action, it absolutely impacts their lives, and then boom, next thing they know, they're back home with their families or they're trying to find jobs, and it doesn't work like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that generation, and my dad's would be a little older than your dad, he served in World War II. They didn't talk about feelings. They didn't talk about that. It's like that wasn't that era, right? Like therapy or whatever. So it would just say
it at all, you know.
Exactly. Is there a certain rhythm to, you've done so much, so much work across all the platforms, you know, obviously Broadway and television and film. Is there a certain rhythm to the script for a show like this? And how was getting the medical jargon down? I had Katie Sackhoff on the show. She's in Mandalorian, and she said that she had to say things that were super scientific-y and technical, but like she's as though she said it every day. So to practice it, she would do her lines and she would have her husband throw tennis balls at her. So she as a way to distract her so she could just get the jargon out. Was there any bit of a challenge for you like that?
I think she's talking about something else, you know, that she's afraid to discuss.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, look, a lot of that jargon is tough. You could lose a few teeth. You know, it's like they're all consonants, and you know, we're just actors, man. You know, and just have to do it and do it and do it until it rolls as, you know, smoothly out of your mouth as possible. And look, I'm not ashamed to say that there have been times when I've had to write that stuff down, you know, and like paste it. Just write this guy. You just got to do it. You know, I once had to speak. Mandarin in a scene. You know, I can barely say my name. So I finally said, look, I to the whole set, I said, everybody wants to go home, right? We want to go home today? They said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm writing this down on paper and I'm taping it over here. And they said, yep, thank you. You know, so, you know, acting is an illusion. You know, it's about pretending. So I pretend that I can speak Mandarin and pretend that I know what I'm talking about when I'm describing pancreatitis.
you should have done a Brando and like taped it to the forehead of your actor in the scene or so. I don't know if that's myth or whatever, but yeah. So is there a different, it feels like there's a certain rhythm to those shows. It's almost Aaron Sorkin-ish in a way, like very fast paced. Did you find it different in any way like that?
Well, I mean, there is definitely a kind of a pattern and a style and a template, you know, for these shows. You know, you got to be in and out at a certain amount of time. You got to get a certain amount of information out per segment. And then you've got lots of characters, you know, and that people tune in to see. So frequently, there isn't that much time to, you know, to explore the nuances of a scene. You have to bring whatever you can to the scene and to get right to the meat of it. And obviously that has less to do with the actor. You just kind of, you know, you're basically a pawn in the game. And that's something that I don't mind being at all. You know, it's fun to be directed or being a cog in the machine. But look, clearly these shows, they're successful for a reason and they have a specific structure to them that you just adhere to.
Yeah. Well, you talked about sort of you got to get in, you got to get out. I would imagine you did a soap for a year, As the World Turns. By the way, I did a guest starring on that. I had one episode six lines. I played Irv Wiener, the dirty, corrupt accountant. So I got that to my credit.
Irv Wiener.
Says it all. But did you find people say that, like, sort of soaps are great training ground because you just got to get your lines, you got to edit that day and turn around and do it again? And did you find that sort of was good for you or served you well, like, in your career as you went forward at all?
Absolutely. I mean, it was one of my early jobs, and, you know, I think I pulled down $850 a week, and that was like gold. I remember looking at the first check as I got on the train to go to work. Like, God, I'm rich. You know, it was great. And plus, I got to work with classic actors who'd been on that show since radio. So yeah, it was really educational and fun, and, you know, not glamorous overtly, but there's a glamour to the backstage aspect of it. And, you know, where you literally see these actors without their makeup and you see them working hard. And it's a real, you learn technique and you learn to show up and you learn to be reliable. And apart from all the fantasy aspects about, oh, I'm an actor and I'm a working actor, that's bull. You know, for the most part, you're just pulling your weight. At your level. And it was really, it was great to do that.
Yeah. It's like you talk about being backstage. It's like smelling the sawdust, as they say. Like, you just feel, it's, well, you just, it's like, feel like you're in it. Right? Yeah.
If you're going to be a comic, you know, those, the years on the road or playing, you know, horrible buckets of blood type, you know, clubs. I mean, it trains you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it gives you fun stories, but you got to do it.
I had a guy, I was working at a place called Downtown Beirut 2. And,
brother.
Yeah. Apparently they were franchising these places, and, it was in the Bowery of New York. I had just left. I was on Wall Street. I was a lawyer banker, and I just had this thing, comedy, bite me in the ass. Anyway, long story short, one night there was like a knifing before I went on stage. And this guy threw bloody napkins at me, and I stayed anyway, and I was going to finish my 5 minutes. And I remember that to this day, like, because now if I were to get a heckle, it's like, really, you're not throwing bloody napkins at me. So I think I can handle this. You know what I mean? But it does, it does, you know, you jump into, you said something about sort of joining Chicago Med, and I think maybe it relates to a larger thing. You said one of the challenges for being a journeyman actor is that you often have to hop aboard a train that's running and fit in as quickly as possible. So how do you do that? Like, did you give your character a lot of backstory? For those listening who aren't actors, you know, actors will sometimes create a whole backstory for their character as a way to really embody the character. But how do you hop aboard a train that's moving that fast?
I mean, I in a way, you're always supposed to give your character a backstory to help make it richer for you. But just technically, just kind of know your lines, which isn't always the case for me, but you have to kind of fulfill your obligation, you know, as a kind of a sub, you know. It's like, I'm trying to think of another analogy, you know, if you're pulled in off the bench, you know, once one of the players gets injured and suddenly they call your name, you just jump in, put your helmet on and follow orders, and you just do it. There's something exciting about it. Again, you just, and I think everybody's acutely aware in a production that you're new and that, you know, nobody's forced to work in the entertainment industry. You know, people are grateful, and every aspect of production is kind of interesting and exciting because people really want to be there. So, they're not going to razz you or haze you. You know, every once in a while you'll find some schmuck, but for the most part, it's pretty grounded.
No one's standing there off to the side. Yeah, good acting. Yeah, good acting there, buddy. Yeah. Like, heckling you.
Oh, listen, but I've spoken to people, other actors who, there are some actors who they work with that absolutely need to, you know, the only way they can feel taller is if they cut your legs off. And that's less about acting. That's more about their own personal needs. And they've found a way to, you know, to make themselves feel better in this industry. But like I say, you know, it's usually not the case. Everybody's very supportive. And plus, everybody wants to go home. Everybody wants to go home.
Yeah, exactly. And it so, is.
You know,
exactly.
Make you feel good.
Yeah.
Make you feel comfortable.
Listen, I know we have to jump. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'd love to have you on again just to talk about your father and his background and sort of how your early days. So maybe we can arrange something down the road, but I'd love to have you back on, but I know you have to jump now.
I'd love to. Thanks,
yeah.
Paul.
And I really mean it. You know, I think your comedic acting is particularly, I mean, you're a great dramatic actor, but comedically everything you do, like I feel it's honest and you do it really well and you don't overplay it. It's really great. So you have a multi-episode arc on Chicago Med. Everybody should tune into that. NBC Wednesdays, 8 o'clock Central Time. Steven Weber, great to have you on, buddy.
Paul, pleasure talking to you, man.
All right, there you go. That's Steven Weber. Hope you enjoyed it. We got a couple great guests coming up real soon. Going to keep that a surprise right now. As always, check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Paul Mercurio, and we will see you next week, everybody.